to the Final Whistle podcast.
Time you run!
Hey, g'day guys, welcome back to the Final Whistle, another weekly edition. Another day closer to Junior Rugby League, hitting the paddocks again. Today is Wednesday the 1st of July, it means we can contact and tackle now. Unlimited numbers back at training, so it's good. How you boys been, Dale, Trev?
Pretty good, Fifey. Can't complain. As you said, junior footy's back. It's Christmas in July. First day of Christmas.
It's just, 17 days to go now?
Yeah, 17 days ago. We're going to do a countdown on our Facebook page from 10 days down so everyone can get themselves ready. It's just, it's a wonderful time. Generally, 1st of July, we all hate it. We all dread it because there's new regulations in for us adults. But today, we're actually loving the 1st of July because, you know, footy's back and you just get that feel in the air that it's not that far away.
New financial year as well, boys. Don't forget to get your tax stuff in too.
Yeah, tax. Yeah, I should get a good tax return this year. I haven't worked that much because of COVID.
I always get a good tax return. Shout out to my tax man.
So today we're going to obviously we'll review the round that was just gone, including all the injuries that we had. We were also preview this round, and then we're going to have young Bailey come on from St. Clair to look long, play short. So it's good times ahead. Let's get straight into it, Trev, with this. What's your simply the best moment of the round that we just had?
Oh, mate, I'll probably have to say the bounce back factor by the Melbourne Storm.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just a normal bounce back, it was a big bounce back, and that's what we have come to expect from the Storm when they do lose a game. Normally the following week, their bounce back factor is where they go out and put the opposition under.
Yeah, it was a tough thing for the Warriors, especially Todd Payton, first up, you know, to have to come up against the Storm. But credit to the Warriors, for the first 20 minutes, the ball was down in the Storm's red zone and in the Storm's half, and then it was just against the runner play intercept from or pick up from Josh Adokar that kind of spurred Melbourne to score their first try. But for the opening 20 minutes, the Warriors will look like they're going to give them a good one.
Yeah, without that, just while we're on the Warriors, mate, what do you think about Cam Smith and Bellamy going into the sheds? There's been a lot of ups and downs and controversy. We should or shouldn't do it. What's your boys' thoughts?
My personal thought, I think it's good because of, obviously, we don't know exactly what was said, but we can guess along the lines of that they're still appreciative of what the Warriors have done, what they've given up to be here for the competition to run. So, yeah, I'm all for it.
Yeah, it was a good gesture, but if you're looking at it from a technical point of view, if you're a coach, that's Todd Payton's first post-match dressing room, and then for it to be, whether or not Todd Payton had a chance to speak to the Warriors before they came in, we don't know what the time frame is, whether it was straight after, whether it's 20 minutes after, but the fact that they're still in there playing gear says that it's probably almost really close to full time afterwards. And, you know, for him just to not be able to have that post-match talk that generally what happens is, you know, what you generally have as a coach, then, you know, for me, it's a double-edged sword. Yeah, it's great. It looks good on TV. But as a coaching point of view, if it's your first NRL match, especially in the caretaking role, you want to be able to have to address that dressing room.
But just one more before going there. It just goes back to what Wayne Bennett said the other week. The dressing room, again, should just be cut off from all media. It's a closed sanction. So if we didn't have the cameras in there, we wouldn't be talking about it today.
Oh, no, exactly right. But, you know, they seem to want to be following the American style of media and sports journalism, where over in America, the media and sports people are just like they're tied together. You know, you look at it, as soon as they come off the NFL paddock after a game, it's a microphone in the mouth. You know, so that's how they want to go. Over here, I'm guessing we've, you know, accessed all areas, but the cameras have been in the in there for almost 20 years now. So,
but the difference, like you said, between America and Australia is that the American sportsmen have got the buy-in from the media. They're not like they're going to say something, they're going to write a story and conflict everything and, you know, just to sell a story. They have the buy-in, like you said, so that's the difference for me. So that's why it's so great when you do watch American sports compared to the NRL and the A-League here.
Yeah, we have Wayne Cajunas every... Dale, what's yours? Moment of the round, mate.
For me, it'll be Corey Hallsborough sticking his fingers up at cardboard cutouts. What a dickhead. He thought it was a cannonball tackle, but in fact, when he looked over it again, it was his foot got caught underneath one of the Parramatta players. So I understand why he was upset, but that was classic for me.
He wasn't sticking his fingers up to the cardboard cutout. He was actually sticking his fingers up to the people where we're going to be sitting this weekend, champion, which we'll get into more later on in the podcast. But yeah, there were a few fans there, and they were obviously booing him. That's something that's my simply the best moment. I won't press it again for the third time. But my simply the best moment was just hearing the crowd back there, not having to rely on the fake crowd giving everyone a round of applause, even if the home team was getting flogged. So it's just that there, it was good. I guess the sour point of the weekend is the injuries that were had predominantly at Bankwest Stadium. Trev, what's your thought? Was it the ground? Was it the players, or was it a combination of the ground and the players reacting to the new rules, which make the game faster?
I think, me personally, I think it's the players, because you go out and look at some of the sheep paddocks in your local A grade footy, you don't see those type of injuries on the sheep paddocks. So I'm not going to blame the ground at all.
Yeah, no, and look, you're looking at the G-forces aren't too much lower to a park footballer to it is to an NRL. Maybe a few G's here and there, but it's not crazy.
Well, Jonathan Thurston came out and said that if you play the game or when you watch the game and you expect no injuries, then you're watching the wrong game. So he summed it up pretty well.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, Fifey, what's blowing your whistle this week?
Fans on social media blowing up about the ground being at fault. Predominantly Rooster fans. Yeah, okay, so you lost Victor Radley and Sam Verrills. There's another 10 players that didn't play on the weekend that can fill their spots. Don't blow up and say, oh, it's a ground this, oh, it's a ground that. Oh, it's getting re-turfed now, so I was right. No, you weren't. Injuries are going to happen. You know, they call them Bankwest cow paddocks. They call them Campbelltown Stadium cow paddocks. Can we call the Roosters training facilities a cow paddock? Because that's where Billy Smith went down, untouched. Like, what do you want from them? You want them to play on multi-class game, on grounds. We had 6 fields. I was hesitant that the fields wouldn't last, and again, they haven't really in terms of things. But do we not have football at all? That's the thing. That's what you got to look at. Do we not have football? Because you got football, you know, you don't want them at all the other grounds. Have them at all the other grounds, but then we don't have a game because we've got COVID measures. They chose those 6 grounds. You know, as you can see this weekend, we're starting to go back to GIO Stadium. We've got CBUS Super Stadium. We've got, what else, what other grounds are we going back that we haven't been to for a while? I think they're the only ones for this week. And they want their Roosters matches back at SCG. Hold up a second, you're sharing that with the AFL.
That's right.
What's happening down in Victoria at the moment? No, thank you. I don't want no Roosters near SCG at all this year. Sorry. Play at another ground for this year. Go play at Central Coast Stadium. All right, Dale, let's get into this review, mate.
Yeah, so Thursday night, we had the game management of Nathan Cleary was in total control to lead his side to victory. Aside from an uncharacteristic night with the boot, 2 from 5, Cleary moved his team around the park, as you would expect from someone far more than his 84 games NRL experience. He capped off a tough performance with a 78th minute try against a Rabbitohs side that had been reduced to 11 men by the sin binning of James Roberts and Latrell Mitchell. Congrats to Bailey Sheridan for scoring his first NRL try. Cleary overcome an infection that required a hospital visit for 12 hours on Wednesday. Alex Johnston crossed for a consolation try in the final minute from a lovely Cody Walker cutout pass for a 12-10 scoreline that flooded the Rabbitohs in the end. We'll touch on this game, boys. For me, I've been a critic of Cleary. He's been proving me wrong, but you know, to spend 12 hours in hospital and then come out to play the way that he did was instrumental.
Mate, it must be the avatar powers. Look like an avatar.
God, right. Maybe it's some all sorts, wasn't he?
maybe it's the boil that was on his head. I don't know. Look, they did good. They still got a lot to do to match the Roosters post COVID, not pre COVID, because we absolutely defeated them in pre COVID rules. But to the post COVID, Penrith are below Roosters and Para. And just before we do go into the next game, South Sydney fans need to lay the hell off. Unfortunately, if there's no money in the cap, there's no money in the cap. Alex Johnson will just have to move on.
Yeah, just a quick touch on that. I touched on it last night. But they got to remember, they signed Joseph Suwali on for $1.7 million. So you got to move someone on.
Yeah, exactly.
And unfortunately...
And he won't play NRL for two more years.
He won't be able to play
to August
next year. But still, got to move someone on. It's given AJ time to look for another club if he still wants to play on.
But even the development contract is going to be lodged by June 30. So he won't be playing next year unless they go on. They can't lodge a development contract on a kid under 18 because you can't play NRL to 18.
And still can be registered, just don't get to play.
Well, no, from my understanding of the development contract is the development contracts have to be put in by June 30 and the kid's got to be 18 already before June 30. So, you know, again, 2 years, potentially 2 years, unless they put a rule around it. And as we know with South Sydney, they get a lot of rules given to them and whatnot. But, yeah, again, you know, the earliest we're going to see him potentially that's Joseph, is August 1st. If not, we're not going to see him until 2022. So I dare say there's another player or two that will get the on the bum. See you later. We need room under our cap to fit him in. So it's not going to be the first domino to fall, but it's the first domino to fall, but it won't be the last domino to fall.
Wouldn't be the first time that Bennett's left the club with their salary cap in dice rates.
Oh, I think we got a blue and red team up the coast that's in dire straits, or just coming out of dire straits.
Yeah, that's on bigger things, but let's go on to the next game.
First game on Friday, the Warriors, tough week, got a lot tougher thanks to a 50-6 thrashing of the hands of Melbourne. But the win has come at a cost for the Melbourne Storm. With Munster, he did his knee in 4 minutes in, but he played on, and then the doctor wouldn't let him out in the second half. He's out for three to four weeks, they say.
Thanks to Victor Sports update there on the injury.
We won't touch on this. We already have. We're going to the second game on Friday. Teddy and Josh Morris watched from the stands as the Roosters overcome horror injury toll to take down the Dragons. ACL injuries suffered by Roosters duo Victor Radley and Sam Verrills made their sides courageous 26-12 win over the St. George Illawarra Dragons. The Roosters' depths will now be tested well and truly if they want to pull off the three-peat.
Pass this one. If you stop the game at 40 minutes, I'm happy with the Dragons' performance. Not happy with the second half, but that's all I've got to say for that one. Move on, mate. What have we got? Another enticing match on Saturday, 3 o'clock?
Yeah, that was a great game. We won the second half. That's all that matters, doesn't it?
Mate, all I can say is they need to take off the miners' jersey because they don't want to work when they got it on.
Yeah. I can't remember the last time we won a game when we wear that jersey. Like, come on, man.
But that's what I'm talking about. When was the last time the Knights won when they wore the miners' jersey?
You know what it is.
The controversy game against the West Tigers when they threw the ball on and there was two balls and they hit the ball, one went that way, one went that way, remember? Well, it's good to see that we're actually wearing a miners' jersey, not against the West Tigers, because it was bloody orange versus orange. Like, we always play against them, so it was good to play against the white.
Yeah. So it's hard, you know, wearing high vis all day, I guess.
Well, as we know, the Cowboys' three-game losing streak come to an end as they beat the Knights 32-20. It was 26-0 at halftime. The Knights fought back in the second half to almost pull off a comeback victory, but the damage was done to overcome in the first half.
But you know what? The Cowboys played for 80 minutes, but took two games to play 80 minutes of good football.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, it was a It was a 60-point first half turnaround from last week to this week for the Cowboys.
It's crazy. Like, they're just so hot and cold. Like, you know, I mean, they could have scored 50, 60 against us the way they're going. They didn't want halftime to come, let's be honest. But, they call him the Hammer, that young fella at the back. How quick is he? No one was catching him, like, when he got into space.
Exactly. I caught it on his debut that Scott Drinkwater was going to kick into the corner before Hamiso to come through, and it happened. He just didn't get a chance to score a try. He's going to be a freak as he grows. Imagine it in a couple of years' time, Hamiso up against Joseph Suaalii. It's going to be a good match.
It should be awesome to watch. Just the only controversial thing from that game was probably
the fact that Newcastle didn't show up.
The fact that we didn't get a penalty try.
No, that's what we'll just talk about. Like, just we'll touch on quickly. Kalen Ponga, was it a penalty try or not a penalty try? I'm going to say no penalty.
No.
Try. Only for the simple fact is that there was still a lot of factor involved of him scoring the try. You know, if the ball was put through as a kick and the ball was in the in goal, different story. Because it was getting passed to him, he still would have had to catch the ball. And who knows, he could have dropped the ball. So that's why it wasn't given a penalty try.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's my fault. It was still in the field of play. It wasn't over the try line.
Robbed. Robbed for a finish. We could have come back 1 minute to go.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, they come out and said they got the call wrong as well, so I'll take that.
Nah, see, that's what I think, like, Graham Annesley needs to stop doing. Coming out, they got the call wrong. Well, if they got the call wrong, why aren't those guys getting dropped?
Exactly right. So, if you're going to come out and go, yeah, we got it wrong, all right, that ref doesn't ref for the next 2 weeks. He's on the sideline.
The bunker. Guys in the bunker getting, sorry, mate, you're not working next week.
Yeah. See,
it was a bunker decision.
Well, the referee said he's looking at a penalty try. He went out to bunker. He's like, just, like you said, Trevor, too much, you know, if he kicked it or passed it or whatever the ruling. But thing is, like, again, this week, that might happen. They might give it a penalty try now. You know what I mean? So it's what the fans want to see, consistency. And that's not consistency for me, if they give that, you know what I mean?
They don't have consistency because every person interprets the rule differently.
And I blame for the interpretation, even though they said they're trying to take it out, but I blame Hollywood Harrigan for it when he was the referee boss. And I'm sorry, Bill, when you brought loud referees to have their interpretation when the rules were black and white, you've brought grey in, and it sort of have given the referees different
interpretations. There's that much grey in there now, it's starting to be a rainbow of colours.
That's right. So
and then with the interpretation.
That looks like obstruction. Oh, that didn't look like obstruction. Yeah, we'll give that a try. We'll give that a try. Anyway, we'll move on to
I think they've got two coins sitting in the bunk and they flip it heads and tails.
We'll move on to the second game on Saturday. Broncos hit rock bottom.
Whoopee cushion match.
After losing five straight, they trailed 22-0 at halftime and were booed off by their own fans. Ash Taylor looked like getting back to his best footy after leading his side to a 30-12. When to leap out of the dreaded wooden spoon spot. It was the Titans' biggest winning margin over the Broncos in their history, and now Anthony Seibold's team has a tough road ahead after failing to famine season from almost last position. Seibold's record as Broncos coach, guys, is 13 from 30. Is the pressure mounting at Red Hill?
But he doesn't care because he's 2 years into a five-year deal. That's what he said in the media. When a coach comes out and says, "Oh, I think my job's safe because I'm only in my second year of my 5 year." Has he been looking around? Kearney just re-signed the deal and got asked. Your job's not safe if you're not performing. Sponsors aren't going to pay their millions of dollars for a team that's running dead last and has no heart in that jersey.
Yeah, without a doubt. What about you, Trevor? What do you think about the whole fiasco going up here at Brisbane?
Mate, I just think the players have lost respect for Seibold,
yeah,
as a coach. Like, what have you done with South Sydney? And Wayne Bennett put it perfectly the other day. When Seibold wanted to come out and blame the roster, mate, that's the roster you wanted. You wanted to go there so bad. Wayne still wanted to stay at the Broncos before going to Souths.
Exactly.
And everyone said, oh, he'll win a premiership with that team. And talking to Matty Adamson a few weeks back, Matty Adamson was the coaching director for the Melbourne Storm up in Queensland. And even he said so himself that, what's his name, the halfback? I've had
Croft.
Brady Croft. He goes, with Brady Croft at the helm, the Broncos should win a premiership within the next few years. But let's be real. I don't know what happened, pre-COVID, the Broncos were good.
They weren't. Well,
don't get me wrong, there were still things they need to work on.
But they were undefeated too.
That's right. Come back. What's happened in COVID that it's reflected out on the field?
Oh, but it does. Look, it shows what Wayne Bennett had, because Broncos came on bouncing last year. Well, no, so they came a bit flat, and Rabbitohs came out bouncing. But now it just seems to be trading around. Broncos just don't want anything from Seabold. Look, whatever Seabold's trying or doing, he needs to grab it, throw it out the window and start again.
But he hasn't, because the only person he's dropped is Oates this week. We'll get more into that in the preview, but there's talks that, you know, Milford this, Boyd that, blah, blah, blah. You know what? To Boyd's credit, you know, he's probably the only one having to go. Yeah, he's missed a couple of easy tries, but he's turning up in defence. He's actually bringing the ball back. And you look at the forwards, they just don't want to be there. You can see the attitude. And another thing that was a massive controversy was the players, you know, laughing and interacting after it. What do you think about that? I know a lot of the media have come out and said that it's disrespectful.
I know Isaac Luke's copped a lot of slack. He seems to be the one copping the most out of it. But people need to understand, he's only been in the club for like 2 minutes.
I know, right? And Sam Burgess caught him out too. Then,
yeah, that's right.
Then he caught him out too.
Like, I thought that was pretty cheap by Sam to call out his own mate. Like, because you're on a TV show, you're going to call your own mate out just to stir up a few things.
He's a pommy mate. He calls anybody out and then runs away when they come back at him.
Yeah, but...
I haven't heard anything back from him when Isaac looks at, oh, you got my number, Sam.
Yeah, you got my number, bro. Call me. Like,
we'll never hear what happened.
The thing is, I just think some of the players, I think wrong, like having a laugh after a game, you know, you've just got lost. Like, me personally, I'm under the thing, you know, like if you got belted that much, like, you know, be filthy, you know, you've got to have a good, long, hard look. But if you're going to have a good laugh after the game, like, as I said, I know Isaac Luke's only been there for 2 minutes, what he did or didn't do, you know, like, fair enough, you know, you don't know what was said for him to have a laugh.
Exactly.
But at the same time, players just need to go back, have a little bit more filthy and have a little bit more pride in the jersey as well.
Yeah, but Trev, mate, put your NRL coach's hat on, because I know if I had my coach's hat on...
Oh, I'd be filthy.
No, I know what I'd be doing. Would you run a forward who's got to run up the middle of the game for, what, 60 minutes of the game if you play 60 minutes... With an ACL injury, a slight ACL injury, would you be running a forward with any player for that matter with a small ACL injury?
Oh, not at all. I want him to be at his best.
Well, that's what's happened for the last 3 weeks. I had Matt Lodge running there. With
that was MCL tier, yeah.
Yeah, so
he was underdone after he had that surgery or whatnot.
I wouldn't have had him out there. Now he's injured. He's injured. He went off injured last week. He'll be off for a bit.
Mate, and I think the Broncos will get better once they. I know people say it's only one person, but if Jason Taumalama can be the X factor for the Cowboys, David Fifita is the X factor for the Broncos.
There's talks that he signed a 5-year deal at halftime for the Titans. Bit of G up there from some people. But we'll see what happens. Anyway, we've got a final game Saturday. Paramount have overcome the loss of Mitch Moses to beat the Raiders 25-26 in a golden point 25-24. Thriller. 25-24, sorry. In a golden point thriller. Clint Gullison proved the hero for the blue and gold, sinking an 87th-minute field goal to return to the top of the ladder. Gutsy effort from the Raiders, who trailed 24-12 with 5 minutes to go, but an error in golden point proved the decisive factor in the end.
Yeah, to be honest, like, this is no disrespect to Moses, but I think Parramatta played better without him. Like, Dylan Brown, he came on leaps and bounds to control that game for Parramatta. And even though people are talking up Mitchell Moses for Origin, when you look at his stats, he hasn't really done anything. It's been the team around him that's made him look good.
Yeah, exactly right. Like,
the kicking's got him out of trouble most of the time,
that's
too.
That's right. And, like, as I said on socials over the weekend, Nathan Cleary, the Iceman, has to be number 7 for New South Wales.
Oh, without a doubt. His stats don't lie either, sort of thing. And, you know, we thought he was going to... when I thought he'd come back, I thought he'd just be, you know, not the same play from that TikTok thing. But, you know, credit to him. Man, he's probably the best half in the game.
You know why? Because he won back the clock.
Yeah, no, look, Moses, you know, depending on his injury, how he comes back after his injury. He's got to show more game... management under pressure, you know. But again, a credit to him though. A lot of us and a lot of mainstream bang on about halfbacks don't look good if their forwards aren't going forward. So, credit is to the forwards of Parramatta.
That try their forward pack, how good have they been? Especially Regan Campbell-Gillard. He hasn't played this good since he played Origin.
Well, you've got Regan Campbell-Gillard, then you've got Paulo, then you've got on the flanks, you've got Maddo and Sean Lane, and then
Nathan Brown
when he's there, and you know,
The bench don't let you down either. Yeah, like Takaringi come off the bench and played halfback or 5'8", depending on where you put him, and he didn't look out of place either. So.
Yeah, so look, it's to single out a single player and go, yeah, no, you're not good and this and that. It's not a single player sport; it's a team sport. So, look, Parramatta are genuine contenders this year.
Oh, definitely.
It's going on a Sunday.
Yeah, let's skim through these games, mate, quickly.
First game on Sunday, dominant display from Sean Johnson, Chad Townsend and Matt Moylan have lifted the Sharks to their third win in four games with a 40-20 victory over old rivals Manly. Final game of the round, Canterbury Junior, Tommy Talau scores two tries against his former club and moved them to the bottom of the table. But it was a magical night. It had brought up their 500 game as a joint venture, and they got a victory too. And also, Maguire celebrated his 100th NRL game for a win too.
Just another fact, all right, I'm going to rewind the clock here over 20-odd years ago. Tommy Talau's old man, Willie Talau, when he scored his first try in the NRL, it was against the West Tigers. And now Tommy, he scored his first try against the Bulldogs.
Yeah, he's come leaps and bounds, hasn't he? What do you think about, you know, the whole Benji thing? Is he going to get loaned? Is he going to stay? Do you think he's going to stay and finish his career there, or do you think he'll go on loan to the Warriors?
Who knows what's going to happen with Benji, mate?
He's come out and said that he's not going anywhere. All the rumours are frivolous. He's going to stick it out and try to get back into the... That's starting 17.
I'll tell you what, that first loan thing, you got Harry Maguire, Momorossi going to the Storm, and then them getting Grant.
Grant. How good is Harry Grant?
He's leading the Dally M's.
He's coming second.
Yeah, second.
By 1 point.
But he's killing it. Like, he wants Cameron Smith to play. Like, all West Tigers want Cameron Smith to play around next year.
Right. So he can take the contract.
But let's not, like, everyone thought that, like, you know, the loan thing, this team's going to get the better in a stick. But let's be honest, like, Paul Morossi, the double on debut, and then what Grant's doing, mate.
It was a good fair swap, and that's what I mean. That's what you call a good fair loan swap.
Yeah, it's all good and well until someone gets injured, then you see.
Or the Roosters fella coming back from the Warriors coming back to the Roosters a week early too. So
yeah.
Thing is, you got a lot of injuries, but then Penrith have lent them a player too. But there's talks, you know, there's three Warriors players they want to go back home. They don't want to play anymore because they're missing their families.
For them to go home, they're in breach of their contract. So if they go home, they can expect to have no money and possibly no job to come back to, which would be a shit thing to do for them.
Yeah. All right, boys. Play of the week?
Player of the week.
Yeah, player.
Who are you going to go with, mate?
Me? Oh, I was waiting for you guys to give your tips first. RCG from the Eels, like he's 250 metres and 20 runs, 140 metre post contact, 50 tackles. Like he was shipped out of Penrith after he played for Australia and New South Wales. And I was thinking, what the heck are these guys doing? And then you see his form go down, and then you go, what's Parramatta taking him for another 5 years too? And then, you know, he's been great to start the season. He might get a bench spot now that Radley's injured for New South Wales too if he keeps going.
Yeah, well, Radley was never going to have a bench spot. Radley, the way he was going, was going to be starting lock and push Cameron Murray back to the bench.
Well, what about Jake T, mate? He would have been there.
Jake T would be on the bench.
For me, I'll probably have to go Ryan Pappenhausen from the Melbourne Storm. Oh, I thought he played awesome. Stats don't lie, but also watching the game, stats can tell you whatever you want them to say, but what he done in that game last week was awesome.
Yeah, no, he was really, really on the ball. And I'm just going to go with me good old halfback from Penrith, Nathan Cleary.
The Iceman.
Team of the week. I'm going Cowboys.
Titans.
Come back from three straight losses.
I know it was the round, the whoopee cushion, but
Ash Taylor's showing. Ash Taylor's getting up there.
The Titans were good, so I was happy with the Titans.
Mate, I'm just gonna go with my simply best moment, Melbourne.
Before we get to team of the week, tips of the week. Mate, we have to give a big props up to your hairdresser, mate. He's done a good job with your hair. covered your comb over.
That's a stitch up.
we're full of the stitch ups here, bro.
Guys,
who won the $20 this week?
No, it wasn't $20, mate.
We're gonna finish up because
I got five tips.
Five.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got four or five. I'm going shit, mate. I'm just gonna give up and pick all draws. You can't pick draws, I don't think. You know. Nah, is Billy still leading?
Yeah, I think so.
He's out a bit, sort of thing.
He must be rubbing his Notre Dame's head.
He has got a comb over.
That's the review, guys. Stay tuned, and we've got the preview coming up.
Welcome, guys, back to the final whistle for this week's Look Long, Play Short Junior League interview. Today we're with Bailey. How are you today, Bailey?
Good.
And
you play for St. Clair?
Yeah.
What unders?
Nines.
Under nines? Who's your coach out there this year?
Brad.
Is he a good coach?
Yeah.
You can tell us if he's not.
Hey, Brad, he's laughing here, mate.
What position do you play, little fella?
Fullback.
Who do you follow in the NRL?
Nathan Cleary.
The Iceman.
Yeah.
We're just giving him a big rap before you got here, Nathan Cleary. He played pretty good on the weekend, didn't he?
Yeah.
Why do you like Nathan Cleary? Was he TikTok videos or just because he's a good player?
Good player.
So, did you watch his game on the weekend?
No.
No? It was a good night, wasn't it? You're in bed. Yeah. Good man. What school do you go to?
Jeps.
What year are you in there? Year two, year three?
Four.
Year four. I was locked down. Didn't get that one right, did I?
You're way off.
What's your teacher's name?
Miss King.
Is she all right?
Yeah.
Lots of homework?
No.
She's single? I'm just joking.
That was a question chucked in there for your uncle. What do you like about footy?
Tackling.
You like to smash them in the ground? Yeah?
Yeah, it's good putting a big hit on, isn't it?
Why do you play fullback? You always played fullback, or are you just because, you know, you're fast and you love to get the ball in your hands?
Because in Knights, Ponga does.
Oh, okay. I'm a Knights fan, so we're going to be friends here too, mate.
So, what are the unders did you start? Under sixes?
Sixes or fives.
So you played a couple of years in the sixes? Nice. Always been at St. Clair?
Mm,
yeah. Yeah, awesome. Awesome to have loyalty. You do other things away from footy, we've been told?
Yeah, motocross, Oztag, BMX.
From what we've been told, you're a pretty good BMXer.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate on that? So, you know, do you state stuff and all that sort of thing? So where you ranked?
State, national.
Were you ranked in state?
Seventh.
And then in nationals?
Third.
Oh, so you reckon you're better at rugby league than you are BMX, or the other way around?
Probably first time.
So what got you into BMXing?
I saw it on YouTube and I just come up and said, "Mom, can I do this?" And she said, "Yeah, next year."
All right, and then you went
and next year came and you've been doing it. And how long have you been doing it for?
2 years.
Oh.
That's crazy. Well, you're 30 nationals and not even doing it for 2 years. Yep. That's great. What kind of bike do you have?
A BMX.
Honestly, one of these brands.
So what type of bike do you have, mate?
Redline.
A Redline.
Yeah, no idea what that
GT.
Is. GT, yeah.
I used to be happy with a Huffy.
I used to have a GT Redline many, many years ago.
You had like one of those Dunlops from Big W.
I still got a Dunlop from Big W. I just don't have it here. It's in pieces.
So as we know, mate, you know, COVID's been up and you're running, so you got to start a little bit of training, and then you've been off for a while. Now you're back at training now. What were you doing during the COVID period to stay fit, ready for the season to start in a couple of weeks?
Running around with Jackson, Jet, all of them.
All your mates and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. Any PlayStation or Xbox like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fortnite every day after school.
Fortnite. Or Fifey might tell you to leave because he hates that game.
Yeah, Fortnite's crap. So, Xbox or PlayStation?
PlayStation, Switch.
PlayStation.
And a Nintendo Switch. I've got an Xbox.
What's your favourite game on the Nintendo Switch?
Fortnite.
Fortnite as well.
Fortnite. And what skins do you have?
I have John Wick. I want Recon Expert, but I don't yet.
How do you get him? You just use mum's credit card?
Yes.
Is mum's credit card linked to
your
account?
When did you become a bloody expert on Fortnite?
When you got like young fellas come on, you got to research the stuff.
You got a bold headline, so I don't know how you can understand Fortnite. Maccas or KFC, bud?
Maccas.
What's your favourite meal?
Donut balls. They just come out.
Donut balls.
What's your main meal besides dessert? What do you go to? A quarter pounder, McNuggets.
Nuggets.
Barbecue sauce.
No.
What sauce?
No sauce.
They love you because they put no sauce when you even ask for it anyway.
You got a joke?
No
funny jokes? Uncle hasn't given you any funny jokes?
No.
No, that's all right.
Who's better at footy, you or your uncle?
Me.
good call. last $20, mate. If you had your last $20 and you had to go spend it on something, what would you spend your last $20 on?
Probably go spend it on a new football.
On a new footy.
Not skins?
No.
No. you got to play with something. If you're going to have no money left, you want to play with something. You don't want to sit on your ass and spend more money.
I mean, skins on Fortnite, mate.
Yeah, still, you got to spend money to get it, don't you?
That's right.
And then you sit on your ass. When you get a football, you can go out in the park.
That's it.
You the fastest in your team?
Yeah.
How many tries did you score last year?
Too many to think of.
Yeah,
it was a long time ago, wasn't it?
How much do you get a try from mum and dad? They give you $5 a try, $10.
$5
a try. And how much money does she give you for a tackle?
That's better.
$8 a tackle. That's awesome.
Your mum must be rich, mate. I like that. That's why she wants you to play fullback, because you only made a couple of tackles then at the back.
So let's go talk about the NRL. Are you happy with the rules that they've got there?
Yeah.
Would you change any rules if you were the boss?
Yes.
What rule would you have?
Head high.
Oh, you like to knock people out?
Yep.
I don't think the new HIA rules would allow the head highs nowadays.
No, they wouldn't.
You did say you did motocross. What motorbike do you have?
110, 90, and a 50.
Awesome.
Nice.
And how long have you been doing motocross for? Same time as BMX?
1 year.
1 year.
Superman? Can you do a Superman?
No.
I'm just thinking about all the games you played back in the day, trying to copy those.
On the old PlayStation.
On PlayStation 1.
PlayStation 1, that was years and years ago. What's the one thing that your coach has said to you that's stuck in your head?
If you're going to tackle around the waist.
And why would you tackle around the waist?
Because if you head high, you give the ball to the other team.
Yeah, so if you head high, it's a penalty. Well, what's another reason why would you tackle around the waist as opposed to tackling around where the ball is in the chest? If you tackle around the
chest, it doesn't hurt.
If you tackle around the chest against a big bopper, what's going to happen?
It's going to hurt.
It's going to hurt, yeah. If you tackle around the legs, do they run or do they stop?
Stop.
Exactly.
Can't run without legs.
Nah, that's good coaching technique there from your coach. Mate, Who's going to win the grand final this year?
Panthers.
Panthers.
Who are they going to verse? Who do you reckon can make the grand final to lose to the Panthers?
Broncos.
The Broncos.
They've actually got to win some games to get into the final series.
Big comeback.
New South Wales or Queensland?
New South Wales.
Good man.
Who's your favourite player away from Nathan Cleary? Who do you like watching other than Nathan Cleary?
I think you said Caelan Ponga earlier, didn't you?
Yeah, but he's a Queenslander. You don't want to like another Queenslander.
Caelan Ponga. I'll say Caelan Ponga.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all right.
What do you like about him? Just his footwork or?
Yeah,
footwork. You seen the backflip he's done off his house into a pool?
No. Don't do that.
Don't do that.
do you have a pool?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Oh. Make sure you don't do it with mum's around. So what's one thing that mum gets upset that you don't do at home? Is it like the dishes or not tidying your room? What's the thing that one
make
thing
make a mess
that
and don't clean it up.
Make a mess and don't clean it up.
Who's a better cook, mum or dad?
Mum.
And what's mum's favorite? What's mum's best meal that you love the most?
You don't know.
Just eat what's in front of you.
Yep.
That's a good boy.
Do you eat veggies?
Sometimes.
What don't you eat? What's like? I'm not gonna eat that. It looks yuck. Tastes yuck. Brussels sprouts.
No.
You like them?
No.
Nah. What's dad's good meal that he cooks on the barbecue or anything in particular?
Sausages.
Yeah. Good old barbecue.
Nice. All right, mate. We'd love to thank you for coming on today, and we'll have to try to get out and watch you play a bit of football. Big Trev's here going to do a nice, yummy barbecue cook-off. He's going to come around to all the grounds and taste the barbecue. So we'll make sure that he goes there one day when you're playing and we can watch you play.
Yeah, for Big Trev's Junior Rugby League barbecue cook-off.
Mate, we'd like to thank you, champ. We know you got to jet quickly. You got to go do BMX training.
Yeah.
Do you get much time at home?
No.
You're here there? That's good, mate. Keep yourself active. Don't get into bad things, bad habits. Keep yourself active. All right, mate, and you'll go far. Thanks for coming on today.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, mate, and good luck with your BMX and motocross and footy.
All right, guys, that was our Look Long, Play Short segment. Up next is the preview of round 8. Yeah, g'day, guys. If you want to use an electrician or an aircon, we suggest you guys use Luke and Jakey from HQ Services Electrical and Aircon. They do great work, don't they, Dale?
Yeah, they sure do, mate. They're 24-hour, seven days a week service. They've got great workmanship, fully licensed professionals with a high-quality service.
Yeah, mate, they're experts you can trust. They're Sydney-wide, and they are one of our great sponsors. You can contact them on 1-800-954-403. Hit them up on Facebook. They're on the Facebook there, HQ Services Electrical and Aircon. They're also on Instagram.
Make sure you quote the hashtag TFW for 10% off.
Yeah, 10% off or your call-out fees off. I can't remember which one they've said. But either way, mate, get on there, get on board. They're the boys that you want to fix your electrical needs and especially your aircon when it's coming out of winter into summer and it's going to be a stinker. H&Q, experts you can trust.
Here we are, guys. Preview of the round Thursday, Storm versus the Roosters. The Roosters were good enough to overcome the loss of Radley and Verrills to finish off the Dragons, but the Premiers are in for a much tougher opposition in the Storm. Radley's aggressive defence and ability to ball play will be missed, but if any side is good enough to overcome adversity, it is the Roosters, and they won't be making any excuses for the rest of the season. The Storm have their own dramas with 5'8 Cameron Munster out with a knee injury for 3 to 4 weeks. For the Storm, Riley Jacks comes in for Munster, and for the Roosters, Jake Friend is back at the starting as Verrills is out. Butcher comes into lock for Radley. Tedesco returns after a head knock at fullback. Manu goes back to the centre to partner Josh Reynolds, who also comes back in with Ryan Hall dropping out. Mitch Orbison drops back to the bench. Poasa for Masili returns from a loan spell at the Warriors. How do you see this one going, guys?
Mate, I've tipped Melbourne, but only by 2. It's going to be a very good match. I think was the last couple of times they've played that's ended up in a field goal being the difference. I think the last one was well, the last one they versed was the preliminary final to get into the grand final. And that was probably their biggest margin, I think, well, from memory, it was 14-6, I think, possibly.
Yeah, it was a very close game, very good. War of attrition. It's going to be an awesome... Oh, I can't wait to see Teddy go up against Pat.
Yeah,
all of the fullbacks.
I want Takiaho and Asofa Solomona to go again. 20 seconds in last year, they got suspended in the prelim final. So, look, if Roosters are kicking off, kick it to Solomona and make sure that Takiaho is going to eat him up. It was good last year. I've tipped Melbourne by two.
I've tipped the Roosters. I feel Cameron Munster's a massive out for the Storm. Moving on to the first game of Friday, Raiders versus the Dragons. The Raiders produced a comeback to force Golden Point against the Eels, but King Gutho stole the show with a match-winning field goal. The Dragons showed a lot of grit and fight against the Roosters. For the Raiders, Bailey Simerson moves from interchange to the wing as Rapana is out with a calf injury. Michael Oldfield replaces Curtis Scott at centre, with Curtis Scott dropping back to the bench. Joe Tarpanay returns from a knee injury at lock for the injured Corey Horsburgh, who's out for the next 3 months. And the Dragons are unchanged, guys. How do you see this one going?
Yeah, I'll still go with the Raiders for this game. Last week was a good game. They really needed a good, tough game. They showed a bit of grit to get back into it when it looked like it was over for them. But I still go with the Raiders.
Yeah, I'm picking the Raiders too. I think they'll be too strong on the day. But if the Dragons turn up like they did in the first 40 against the Roosters, they'll be hard to beat as well.
Yeah, look, Dragons aren't that far away from a win against a good side. I just feel they need more fifth tackle options. That's what they need. If they come with a vast variety of different fifth tackle options, well, then, yeah, it's going to be a different game. But I've gone Raiders.
A second game on Friday, Eels versus the Cowboys. Parramatta's credentials as true premiership contenders will be tested in the absence of star half Mitchell Moses. The Cowboys have run hot and cold this season, but on their day, they're capable of beating anyone. For the Eels, former Dragon Jai Field replaces Mitch Moses as half, who's out with a calf injury. David Gower getting a run on the bench in place of David Avalaro. For the Cowboys, Valentine Holmes is on the extended bench. He hasn't been named, but there's talks that he'll be in. And O'Neill goes to the wing and Opacek goes to centre. There's just a replacement of those two guys from the win against the Knights last week.
We know you have trouble with the Polynesian names.
Alvaro, South American.
Yeah. Look, I've gone Parramatta. When Moses went down, we all spoke about it in our group chat, and I said the Jai Field will get the head
Field straight up.
So it's good that he's got there. He's got the first choice. If he doesn't go good, well, they've got the backup in Rankin as well. But if they really wanted to, they probably could put Takarangi at 5'8" and put Dylan Brown at halfback if Jai Field doesn't go strong, but I feel he's going to go strong. He's come up from Dragons into the Parramatta system, and he seems to be doing well from all reports at training. So it'd be good for him to get a start here. And if he goes good the next 3-4 weeks, well, then maybe they might not rush Mitchell Moses back.
Yeah, I picked the Cowboys. I think Moses is a massive out for Parramatta. Onto the second game on Saturday with the Titans versus the Sharks. These two sides piled on 70 points between them in round 7 as they broke the shackles in a big way to post impressive wins. Confidence breeds confidence. So there should be no shortage of free-flowing attack from the likes of Moylan, Sean Johnson, Jesse Ramey and Katoa motoring down the edges, with also a re-injuvenated Ash Taylor as a flyer in form. Philip Sammy and Brian Kelly. Sorry, guys. Keep up the scroll up and down. For the Titans, Tyrone Peachy starts at centre, and then Dale Copley. Dale Copley's out injured. Bloody the injury tolls this week are crazy. And Bryce Cartwright gets called back after being dropped last week.
Did he have his needle?
And the Sharks are unchanged for the first time this year.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Sharks.
Yeah, I've gone Sharks. Titans, they did good last week, but again, they're only up against the Broncos. I feel that the Sharks are that next step up or whatever else that you want to call it from the Broncos. Broncos aren't offering much this year.
Into the second game. Is it second game? Yeah, I'm front.
Yes, it is the second game.
It is the second game. Warriors versus the Broncos.
It is of the round. The whoopee cushion match of the round.
A desperate sides. You're sitting in 14th and 15th on the ladder. For obviously, if Bulldogs win and whoever loses out of them, they'll drop back into last. Yeah,
don't worry about doing the intro for this Whoopi Cushion match. Please, all the listeners want to hear the ins and the outs of the Warriors team this week from the lovely Dale.
So obviously Fusatua is out with a head knock. I know Fusatua is back.
Oh, tick.
Back with the he's back on the wing. Patrick Herbert shifts to the centre, bumping Gerard Beal to the reserves. RTS, he's been named, but he got suspended last night, but they haven't named a replacement for him at the moment.
Do we have a name that we could replace him with?
I think Beal would come in and Hickey would go back to fullback, won't he?
Could possibly be.
Could possibly be.
Any names changes on the bench, or the bench still the same?
Nah, they're all the same. I say a Papali'i.
You got that one right, Trev.
comes on to the reserves, but also they're giving a club debut on the bench for Jack Hetherington, who comes across from Panthers on loan. So good to him to get a debut. And for the Broncos, the only one that got dropped was Corey Oates, and then Asako comes in onto the wing, and then Flegler comes onto the bench. Carrigan's back from suspension. He just replaces Offengau, who's again suspended. So
suspension in.
Thoughts on this, guys? I thought they would have dropped Milford and or give Dearden a go, or put Milford back to fullback. He looks disinterested out there for me. Like I said, this could go either way for me. I picked the Broncos only because it's a matter of when, not if. Yeah, for them.
Does he look disinterested because he's disinterested in the game or the culture at Broncos? Or is he disinterested just so that he can go somewhere else? Because you got to remember, there were 15 players in that top 30, or 15 that's in the top 25 that are regularly used that were under the old player manager of Isaac Moses, including the coach. So being disinterested, it could be a few things. It could be that, yeah, okay, his form's dropped, so he's obviously not looking good. But the fact of the matter is he could just be playing crap to go somewhere else under a new manager. Because there's so many players out there and coaches that are looking for a new player manager. So you got to look further into it. To me, I've picked the Warriors. They look the better of the two out of these sides, I reckon.
Yeah, it's going to be who's better out of the worst.
That's why it's the of the match. That's of the round, right.
No, but I just think Brisbane, if they've used all that motivation that they've shown on their social media throughout this week, you know, apparently they've had death threats, they've bagged out big time throughout social media, but the energy that they've put into it and to all their critics, if they've got that type of motivation and energy, wears that out on the field. That's where they need. If they bring that onto the field, they should win.
Yeah, if they bring that, then the Warriors are going to get ambushed. But just the giggle that I had when you said the death threats was a tweet I saw. Chris Walker's put a call out to the Broncos players saying that, oh, you know, I had death threats in the past. You just got to put it behind you and go forward. And then Kevin Campion replied going, yeah, but your death threats came from your teammates. That's the only reason why I was laughing. I was only laughing at that. I wasn't laughing at death threats because death threats shouldn't happen. Fans who send death threats should get a metal rod up their ass. It's a dog act to do, even more a dog act to do in 2020 with what's going on. You know, you got people dying of this unknown virus and you got people sitting there behind a computer going, we're going to kill you because you can't win a game. Well, get off your ass and go do better. But yeah, that's the reason why I was laughing, because as soon as you said death threats, I thought of Chris Walker, which was hilarious. I saw that this morning.
The final game on Saturday. Just hold off a bit here, Fife, if you let me finish. So it's the West Tigers versus the Panthers. West Tigers will be loving life, sitting in sixth position instead of their normal ninth.
Yeah, and you're going to be loving sitting in that Victor box.
Yeah. While the Panthers are riding high in second, the boys at the final whistle will be sitting at this match.
Yes, we will be at this match. Thank you very much to David and the team at Victor Sports, our newest sponsor. Come through the goods. So all our sponsors, HQ Services, Electrical, TLB Home Improvements, P&S Dumpers,
Sonali,
they're all going to be in the box seat with us, sipping back on some brewskis like what we are now. We're sipping on a bit of brewskis. I don't think Ted's going to be in the corporate box comes Saturday, but if Bankwest are listening, I'd like two cases of Ted to be in the fridge because that's my drink of choice. But yes, no, we're going to be there. It's going to be good. We've Tanya Mahoney, who Trev pulled out of the magical hat last night, and Stephen Great are the winners of the double passes. So they will be coming along with their plus one. So it's going to be a very good night.
West Tigers are unchanged, and there's only one change for Penrith. Mansour comes in, and Naden drops out. I know you. I know you're all going to go for Panthers probably on the night. I'm going for Panthers. You're a Panthers boy. You're a Panthers boy. You're looking at me like, what the fuck?
This guy, you're a Panthers boy. You're a Panthers boy.
Well, hopefully, we're all going for Panthers on the day because it'll be quite interesting if we.
Are you wearing your birthday suit to the box seat?
Mate, no, can you just tell our listeners, all right? You've ditched your wedding anniversary to go to the footy.
Oh.
The missus is coming.
Hey, T-Lish, are you hearing? You need some brownies.
Oh, she's driving as well.
Double the brownies. We need a choc chip. We need a fudge. If you can get a Lamington brownie. Any brownie that you've got, send it to Dale. He's going to need a lot of them. But, yeah, getting back to the football, yeah. Now, Penrith need to win this. If they don't win this, well, then they can forget about fighting the top four. They need to win this, and they need to win this comfortably.
All right, we're going to Sunday, Manly versus the Knights. After calling Central Coast home for the past 5 weeks, the Sea Eagles return to the spiritual nest at Brookvale this week for what shapes as a ripping clash with their old aspiring partners, the Newcastle Knights. Even since Mark Carroll and Paul Harrigan locked horns in the 90s, Darren Albert broke Manly hearts in one of the all-time greats grand final. The Seagulls and Knights have taken great delight in tearing into each other over the previous years, and they will leave nothing in the tank. For Manly, they welcome back Moses Sully, who returns from a finger injury. Elliot drops out. Martin Tapau starts, and then Kepi drops back to the bench. Tell you what, mate, Kepi's been one of the improved players of the season so far.
Sean's an awesome player.
He's getting a start over, like, you know, Adafinal Blake, and you know when Marty's out, didn't let anyone down too. So he's come leaps and bounds too. So massive rap for him.
Yeah, exactly right.
For the Knights, Bradman Best probably score a century again. He's back after
breaking
quarantine. Herman Shabashki drops out. Herman Sesa starts at lock because Glasby has been rested, even though he failed the HIA. He said even if they would pass, he's starting to rest players. So that gives a call up for Solo on the bench. How do we see this one, guys?
Well, I don't know how I'm going to see it on Sunday. It depends on how I recover from Saturday. But at this stage, I've tipped Manly. That could change later on in the week. But at the moment, I've tipped Manly. It's going to be a seesaw and event. I'd love to see Daddy Cherry Evans do a Joey to Newcastle and go down the short side when it's nice and close. And then do Moses Sully come back in. Moses Sully should be the X factor that they probably need on that edge. Since he's been playing underneath Dez, he's a different player to what he actually was touted to be. You know, I think he's actually gone above and beyond from what he was actually touted, and that was under Dezzy. Dezzy's given that the stability that he needs, and that's the reason why when they came out doing the talk of Sully going to Dragons, it was never going to happen. The culture down there at Dragons, the coaching methods and all that would not have suited Moses Sully. So I'm glad he stayed at Manly. Manly boy converted try, I think.
It's going to be a close game. Like last week, Manly's defence was their issue and it was very unmanly. Like people saying, oh, they played crap, they need Tommy Turbo. But the thing is, they were still putting points on the board. So it was just their defensive effort. So they can still put points. They just need to get their defence right. And I think if they do get their defence right, they can upset Newcastle. But Newcastle last week, they missed Bradman Best.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think for Manly, obviously they can score points, you know, wherever. It doesn't matter if Turbo's there or not because they've done it with him last year for eight to ten weeks. He was out as well. So, yeah, like you said, I watched that game and I was like, this is, you know, they're not turning up for their mates. But, you know, I picked the Knights, but I think, you know, Manly will be hard to beat at Brookie too, so... We'll go on to the final game of the round. It is the Dogs versus South Sydney. So Dean Pay's men have been commended for having a dig in 2020 and making opposition earn their points. But last week, they were absolutely blown off the park by the Tigers, and they'll leave the coaching staff scratching their head. It hasn't all been smooth sailing for the Rabbitohs either, with Latrell Mitchell out of all sorts against the Panthers and Cook forced to come up with 60-plus tackles a game. And also they've got shaky holes in the defensive line. For the Dogs, Will Hopewadi's out with ankle, so Jake Avalero is out too, and Kieran Holland are all out. So Dallin Waitani-Zelezniak goes to fullback. Raymond Smith and Marcelo Montoya are in the centres, and Nick Meaney joins the wing. Sorry, Jack Cogger drops out of the side for South Sydney. Just one change. Roberts goes to the centre, and Braden Burns goes back to the bench.
Yeah, it's good to see Marcelo Montoya back. It's his first game back from injury. He'll bring that some experience as long as he's got the right attitude. The Dogs, even last week, they started off well in that first 20 minutes in the game. But again, they turn up each week. Obviously, they're not winning the games. But as you mentioned, they make the opposition teams work for their points. So you can't fault their attitude.
Yeah, it's just hard with the Bulldogs. They don't have a proper roster just due to the salary cap of coaches and recruitment managers gone past. Once they can get themselves back into the market where they can actually attract a quality player, that's when you'll see the Dogs of old come back. All it's going to take is a player that, and I'll go back to it because this is what he spoke to us about last year when we had him on, Roy Asatasi. He went to Souths when no one wanted to go to Souths. Once he went to Souths, got Vunganut and he got, you know, all the other boys in Inglis and whatnot came on. And we asked him, and he said that Russell Crowe often speaks when they talk about when was your turning point from South Sydney being just a laughing stock to being a contender. And Roy Asatasi said Russell Crowe always credits my signing across as the first kind of big signing for South Sydney and started. And off that, he left the year before they won the premiership. And then when he was over there in Warrington, Russell Crowe got him to come out to the club challenge match and gave him a premiership ring. He didn't have to, but he did, because if it wasn't for Asatasi, they still wouldn't have got that premiership. So now the Bulldogs have to hunt. They've got to find that Roy Asatasi signing that Souths did back in 2007. They need to find that. Once they find that and they find that player, it can move on. You saw with James Graham coming to Bulldogs and then it attracted a few other forwards and a couple other handy backs, and then they went on a run and almost won the grand final against. Yeah,
they went twice.
Yes. To the grand final. So
in 3 years.
So. Maybe Luke Thompson can be that player. We know what the latest crop of British forwards that have come out, hands down, are probably the you know, they could cut it if they were over here from a young age. You know, a lot of them are coming, like James Graham, you know, and a couple of others have come over. John Bateman's come over, but now he's going back. The Bulldogs now need to chase that type of player, and they might have Luke Thompson as that first, but now they've got to try to get a second and a third quickly when they get their money back on. For me, South Sydney should have this one easy. Again, you don't want to say it easy because it can always turn sour. Latrell Mitchell needs to have a solid 70 minutes. He's been, well, 80 minutes you want, but if he can give you 70 minutes, then that's good. He's been good. He did get a man of the match from us a couple of weeks ago, but he still hasn't given us over 60 minutes of quality fullback. What do you reckon, Dale?
Yeah, he was poor last week in all aspects of the game. He was a bit disorientated as well. But going back to what you said about the Bulldogs, that Bateman's free in 2021 from the Raiders. Do you ever dig at him if you're a recruitment for the Bulldogs?
If you've got the money there for him, he's going to be wanting $750, $800 to stay in Australia.
He wants $800, and then Ricky Stewart said he wasn't worth that, so he's off now. So does he go home, or does he stay here?
It depends. He hasn't said that he's going back over. All he said that he's looking for another club in 2021, wherever that be here in Australia, being the Bulldogs, Dragons, or whoever else has got $800,000 for him, or whether or not that goes back, he goes back home.
If he goes back home, he'll be going back to Wigan. He won't go anywhere else. The only other club he could go to in England, but it won't happen because they're not in the Super League, is Bradford, so he'll go back to Wigan.
Yeah, look, I feel the reason why he's come out and he said it and everyone's tipping him to go back to Wigan is because of the COVID lockdown. He hasn't seen his daughter in over, well, well, it'd have to be over 5-6 months
since
now.
Since Christmas.
Yeah, so, you know, he hasn't seen his daughter. You know, they probably be Skyping. And look, as a father, I understand that. I haven't been away from my kids for a period of time, so I can't sit there and go, yeah, I know what he's going through. It's something, you know, if your kids go away on a two-day camp, you're like, when they come back, yeah, come back and you spend time with them. You know, you got to think about it. This is 6 months. So if he goes back there, look, kudos to him. He came out, he's shown what he's got in, what, a year? So, look, I want him to stick around. I really do. I want him to stick around, but respect his wishes.
Oh, I just think, again, it comes back to his player agent that he had. I won't mention the agent's name because we all know who we're talking about.
Yep.
But at the same time, agents play a big role. Some agents, I believe, think of themselves and the player second and not putting the player first, even though that comes out that they're putting the player first. Because in the right mind, right, yeah, he signed on for how many years with Canberra, but also in that contract, it said at the end of each year, he was allowed to discuss if he was allowed extra money or not.
Yeah. Available. Like, yeah.
Who puts that into a contract, mate?
Someone who wants an extra percentage out of it.
That's right.
You know, player managers, they get a percentage of the total amount. So, you know, those clauses there aren't a clause done by the player. It's a clause that's been added in by the manager, so the manager can get more money, especially if they know what the potential of this player can do. And look, if you think talking about if you think in the mind of that player agent, he's probably been a smart option in terms of how Bateman went, because he came over and he blitzed it. But you don't put those in there. Look, you want him to get more money? Sign him on a 2-year deal. And then re-sign him afterwards. Get him out of here and say, any player, say, look, we're going to sign you on this deal for two. Oh, we're only going to go 2 years. That means you've got 24 months to get your ass out there, show them what you got, and then get your just desserts and your pay rise from there. Don't come out signing deals where you get potential pay rises at the end of each year, because that's you're not playing the game for the right thing then.
Yeah, for me, I just like it how, like, Ricky Stewart's come out. He's come out and said that, you know, he won't be at the Raiders next year. I'm going to find a new club in 2021. Because we could have been speculation all the way through until November 1 when he can sign for a club.
This came out after the grand final. Yeah, literally the day after the grand final.
But do you believe, was he, in your eyes, is he worth 800 or is he only worth 650?
Mate, he's worth the money he's on right now. He's not worth $800,000.
No, he said three shoulder reconstructions.
I would not pay any second row of that type of money, because he's not the one putting bums on seats.
I'm not paying a second row $800,000 unless they're getting close to Tamalolo stats. Sorry.
But the Bulldogs are going to pay $800,000.
Of course, a club like Bulldogs have to pay overs to get players there,
and then,
which is understandable.
And then once they get the quality players there, then other players will come around them. And that's the hard thing when you're talking about player and player worth and, you know, okay, so a player on the field right now is worth $650,000, but if you pay him $800,000 and then he brings three other players that then give you a premiership, was the overs worth it? Well, damn right the overs were worth it. But if you pay, look at it right now, you paid Kieran Foran what he's got. He hasn't brought a premiership, so now he's overpaid for his services that he's been given to the club.
I feel the Bulldogs don't need him. They've got enough quality back rollers anyway to fit in 11 and 12.
Yeah, but it's not just about that, mate. You bring someone, for example, like a Bateman to the Bulldogs, it opens up that gateway to the English players.
Yeah, but also you miss out on getting, they need a 7 and they need a 1, you know what I mean, as well. So you get extra money.
There's Jackson Hastings sitting over in Super League. Aidan Caesar sitting over in Super League. There's some quality Super League halfbacks over there that are Australian born. Bring them back home. Blake Austin's another one. Bring Blake Austin back.
I can't see Blake coming back at the moment, mate.
No, he's loving it over there at the Wire.
No, not just him. He's personally, mate. His boy, I believe, is getting scouted and he's in the development squads, I think, with Manchester City Academy.
That's great. That's great right there, yeah.
Yeah, no. Well, look. I ran into his brother the other day, and his brother said he's looking to get another contract over there because they're loving it over there. But that's a style of player who the Bulldogs need. An Austin, a Caesar, a Hastings. Hastings has matured and impressed over there without the scrutiny of what he was getting over here from the media.
To be honest, he was hard done by.
At Manly, yeah.
He was hard done by. I'm not going to go into full detail, but he was hard done by. And he's gone over. He got he won the Steve Prescott Men's Steel. He got sulfured into a grand final, but no one ever gave any thought of even making the finals.
Let alone
making the grand final. And I believe St Helens were too class for him on the day, but a few decisions didn't go their way, which sort of helped St Helens. But at the end of the day, now he's at Wigan. We've got Super League coming back on 1st of August. But at the end of the day, he's another player who could come back and play, but he's enjoying himself over there as well.
Hastings and Wakeham as your halves are Bulldogs. How's that sound?
Sounds all right.
There was talks that Bulldogs are going to try and get Clifford from Cowboys because Morgan comes back in. You got drink water there, so it'll be a handy pickup for the Dogs. I feel he'll probably take the Cowboys anyway.
Clifford needs another year or two before he's at what you'd say his best is. See, as long as JT's still hanging around and doing specialist work with the halves, why would you leave? You're gonna pick. You can be a sponge and take as much information as you can out of JT whilst you're there. Once you leave, well, it's a bit harder because you can't give you that physical one-on-one that you're there with the Cowboys.
Without a doubt, mate. All right.
Before we go, we'll quickly get into the junior league. So it's 17 days before the New South Wales Rugby League and some of the Queensland Rugby League come back. I'm pretty sure Queensland are looking between the 18th and the 25th. Most of them are going to be the 25th. New South Wales is back on the 18th of July. Northern Territory is already back. They're back. You can watch their A-grade match at around 1 o'clock every Sunday on NITV. Western Australia Rugby League is back this week. Juniors are on the Sunday. Seniors are on the Saturday. To all our Western Australia peeps that are following the page, listening to the podcast, big shout out to you guys. There's Ellenbrook Rabbitohs. I'm pretty sure there's
Ellenbrook's not in for the
seniors. No, Ellenbrook's in for the juniors.
Oh, are they?
They're playing on Sundays. They're not in the main competition. But for the juniors, they're there on Sunday. Fremantle, who else was there? The Goondajup.
Giants.
Yeah, Goondajup Giants. There's a few out there. Have fun, guys. Play hard. Play fair. All you supporters, lay off the referees. It's been a long, long road to get back. Don't go and ruin it in round one by getting a contrary conduct charge and missing the rest of the season. Guys, again, we'd like to thank our sponsors, HQ Services, Electrical Air Conditioning, P&S Dumpers, Sports Medals, who will have their last special up on our Facebook page, which will run out on Monday. Make sure you catch that shortly. Sonali, we can't wait to get into their new shirts. We will have shirts available for sale at a later date. And also Victor Sports. Without Victor Sports, we wouldn't be going to the match this weekend. For more information, guys, you can listen to our podcast on the Anchor app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your lovely podcast from. Hit us up on Facebook at www.facebook.com/TheFinalWhistleRL. Instagram handle is TheFinalWhistle_RL. Alternatively, you can send us an email at TheFinalWhistleRL@hotmail.com. Thank you all for listening, and go with the mighty Panthers.
And that's The Final Whistle.